Are you tired of being told what to think and how to act? Well, you are not alone. In case you haven't realized it, you have an internal GPS. It knows all you need to know about how to live your life. So it's about time you stopped letting the media and the government tell you what is true for you. In fact, it is exactly that time. It's time to think for yourself. And here to make sure you're doing just that is your host, mediator, author, and lawyer, Carol Gold.
Hi, it's Monday, August 16th. I'm Carol Gold, and welcome to Think for Yourself. This is a challenging podcast to do because my emotions are probably pretty close to the surface, given what's been happening in the last 36 hours relative to Afghanistan. Let me do a little background here and why I want to talk about this. War is never a good thing, and there is no way to spin that. Humans killing humans is not the way we are supposed to be acting. And I'm alive long enough to have remembered coming out of Vietnam, what that was like for the nation. In fact, my ex-husband served in Vietnam, was impacted by his service. I think that anyone who serves in war comes home a different person. I don't think you can experience the horrors of war and not be permanently changed. And so whether you go back to civil war, whether you're looking at a World War I or II, whether you're looking at Korea or Vietnam, or most recently in Afghanistan, no good comes from humans killing humans. But what has happened in the last 36 hours for me has less to do with the war itself and more to do with what we do to one another and what we do to ourselves in the process. As I said, I remember the Vietnam War. I was in high school at the time, having just graduated high school when the war was ending or close to coming to an end. And I wasn't very active then. I didn't oppose the war. I wasn't in favor of the war. I don't even remember whether I had an opinion about the war. But when I watched the photos yesterday of what's going on in Afghanistan, of the chaos and the panic and the terror that those people are experiencing, it touched me profoundly. I actually cried as I watched little clips of videos on Twitter or wherever they were, short, 15 seconds, 10 seconds, 20 seconds, of people climbing onto the outside of airplanes on the tarmac, of people trampling one another, trying to get to the airport for the sheer hope that they might be able to get on a C-17 that's sitting on the tarmac. When I listened to a woman in the middle of a crowd who thought that a CNN reporter, because he was an American, could somehow help her, and she asked him to take her son, who looked to be about 10 years old, just to get him out of the country. And all around her were people crowding, waving papers that they had to prove that they had cooperated with the Americans, hoping that this reporter had some pull to get them out before the Taliban did what the Taliban does, slaughters people. It slaughtered people coming into Kabul, and it will continue to slaughter and enslave women and young girls as sex slaves. I watched those people. I looked at their faces to the extent that I could. I saw the panic and the fear and the desperation. And I wondered, what the hell are we doing? What are we doing to one another? It isn't the war that got to me as much as how we apparently decided that we didn't belong there anymore. After 20 years, we didn't belong there anymore. Maybe we didn't belong there long before the 20 years were up. Maybe once Osama bin Laden was killed, we needed to come home, but we stayed. And there was a certain reliance on us being there, which was probably not healthy. But the way we left, I have to go back to the way we left. Why in the world did this president pull out the military before he pulled out the civilians and the support staff and the embassy people? It seems insane to me. It defies common sense. I don't think you have to be a president. I don't think you have to go to college. I don't think you have to be a politician to be able to look at a situation and say, if you're going to pull out of a country where you're surrounded by what you know are enemies, You don't take your military, your fighting people first and leave the civilians last. And the proof of that is that now the president is sending 7,000 troops back in to try to manage the chaos and the panic at the airport. He talked about now that our, I just listened to him. He was just live. And I didn't begin this podcast specifically because I wanted to hear him speak. And I could take apart a lot of the speech because, after all, he's been in Washington for 40, almost 50 years, which is inconceivable in and of itself. And he's been through all the prior wars. And when he talked about in the middle of his speech, for example, that, you know, going after Osama bin Laden and killing him was the right thing to do, he actually opposed that action. When Barack Obama made the decision to have the SEALs go in, SEAL Team 6, and kill Osama bin Laden, Biden opposed that decision. So I don't want to deconstruct all that was false in the statements that he just made or misleading, but he kept talking about how right it was for us to leave Afghanistan, how no more American treasure should die in Afghanistan. I don't think very many people thought otherwise on all sides of the political spectrum. He didn't make a grand decision by saying it was time we got out of Afghanistan. That was a given. Trump was going to get us out of Afghanistan. That was already on the table. Those negotiations had already taken place. It was this president's decision as to how we got out of Afghanistan. And from what I know, and again, I'm not an insider, the military advice he got was not to pull out the way he did in the dark of night. And leave not only civilians, but leave drones and military equipment and documents in the embassy, which are now in the hands of the Taliban. The drones for sure, and the armaments for sure. They have a cache of military equipment worth millions of dollars. They've taken over an embassy that cost us, what, six? Some insane number. Was it 6 million or 6 billion? I don't even know. It was some insane number to build the embassy there. Why in the world we even build an embassy there when we knew we were never going to stay? When, as Biden said, it's the graveyard of history. No nation has been able to sustain any kind of leadership in Afghanistan. It's tribal. It's positively biblical there, as is much of the Middle East. And so what really upsets me today is the abandonment, is that we abandoned those people who cooperated with us and helped us while we were there and worked for the American government and were paid salaries by our tax dollars. We just pulled out in the dark of night like thieves, as if we had something to be ashamed of. And now this is supposed to be admirable, that he's sending 7,000 people, hopefully 7,000 troops, not to get harmed. Hopefully there will be no tragedies at the airport. But it did look a lot. Those videos did look a lot like what it looked like in Saigon when we left Vietnam, which was shameful then, and it's shameful now. Afghanistan is shameful. And our allies are incredulous and look at us with disrespect for the way in which it's done. I'm not probably covering much on this podcast that won't be covered elsewhere. I don't think I'm alone in the way I feel. But I do try to always bring to the show that think for yourself higher perspective. And if this has shown anything, it's the insanity of settling disputes with violence. It's the insanity of being anything other than someone who will raise a weapon in self-defense only. The Bible gives us that guidance. It's okay to defend yourself. It's not okay to kill arbitrarily. And it's certainly not okay to abandon what are basically innocents. And regardless of whether people think the Afghans should stand for themselves or should have stood up for themselves, if you put the military issues aside, there are women and young girls who, and by the way, who not only will be made sex slaves, who will not only be degraded and humiliated, but where were all those voices in the United States who are quick to a microphone about gender rights or are quick to a microphone about how oppressive we are as a society and how unsafe it is to be in a college classroom where opinions are being voiced that are not politically correct, how dangerous that is. Where will those voices be? Because you know what? We're all branches on a tree. And those innocents in Afghanistan, they are on the same tree that we are. They are just another branch. All humans are connected. I like to say there's only one of us. There's only one of us. We're just branches on a tree. And so what happens there matters. It matters because as if we stand by and are silent in the face of the abandonment and the stupidity, the insensitivity, and the inhumanity of what this administration just did, then shame on us. You know, I was rereading parts of Joshua Cooper Ramos's book, The Age of the Unthinkable. It's a wonderful book, and you should read it because it is a different take on how we need to go into the future. But there was a quote this morning I was reading, and it struck me, and here it is. Today, you cannot even do good unless you are prepared to exert your share of power, take your share of responsibility, make your share of mistakes, and assume your share of risks. I basically say that on every single podcast I do. The cure for what ails us is not coming from the White House. It's not coming from the political community. The cure for what ails us is each one of us having a voice when we see wrongdoing, when we see inhumanity, when we see humans treating one another worse than animals treat one another. Animals only become aggressive when their own existence is threatened. Our existence isn't threatened today by what's happening in Afghanistan, but we are the cause of the threatened existence of those innocent people, those women and those children who will be enslaved and abused and murdered. That's on us. That's on you and me, because they may be across the world, but there's only one of us. We're just branches on a tree. And as we allow those branches to become diseased and do nothing about it, eventually the tree will be consumed by its own sickness. I don't want you to think that I leave you feeling that you have no power. To the contrary, I want to leave you understanding how much power you really have. You know, if you look at it in reverse, 75,000 Taliban just overwhelmed 300,000 in the Afghan army and took over a nation. Aren't there 75,000 of us in this country, or 150,000 of us in this country, or 1 million of us, those who just all bought Mark Levin's book, American Marxism? Close to 1 million people have bought that book. Can't 1 million of us stand up and say, enough is enough. The nation has a sickness. The political system is corrupted. The borders have been breached. The economy is a fraud. Can't 1 million of us be heard as one voice and turn the tide? I believe we can. I believe you can. I believe every voice matters. And that's what I want you to think about. And think about it for yourself. I'm Carol Gold. Thank you for joining me on this podcast. I'll be back here again on Wednesday. And until then, as always, think for yourself.
Carol thanks you for spending your valuable time with her. It is her mission to empower you to remember how smart and capable you are. Be sure to check out Carol's website, carolgold.com. That's Carol with an E, gold.com. Please leave a review and subscribe here so you'll be alerted to Carol's next podcast. Until then, above all else, remember, it's time to think for yourself.